If you or a loved one is suffering from a physical or emotional condition that has left you unable to work, then listen carefully. Take this number down. 800-593-7491. That's 800-593-7491. When you call, you'll speak with a Social Security disability expert and get a free evaluation to see if you may qualify for disability insurance benefits from the U.S. government. That's right, a monthly cash payment paid directly to you from the Social Security Administration. Whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied disability benefits, call now. The disability attorneys at Pinnacle Disability can help you build your case, file an appeal, and represent you at no upfront cost to you. Don't wait another minute to see if you may qualify for your Social Security disability benefits. Call Pinnacle Disability Group at 800-593-7491 for your free case evaluation. That's 800-593-7491. 800-593-7491. Call now.
It's Rick Tittle.
All right, TGIF, what you got? It is a Friday edition of Titillating Sports with Rick Tittle. He'll be here in just a second. There he is. Come on, Rick, sit on down here. All right, here I am. Thanks for the introduction. 3 hours of sports talk. Well, 3 hours of sports talk sometimes. Sometimes I'll spend a whole hour talking about a searing abdominal cramp. Or we'll talk a little Hollywood like we do on Friday mornings for the first hour with the film critic and Hollywood insider Jan Wall. And we'll do that with some fascinating guests coming up here right after a quick break. In the second hour, John Kostakos is going to come in, talk about sports-themed NFTs, non-fungible transactions. He was the guy that invented the Real Men Wear Black t-shirts. Remember that in L.A.? And also, look, I've had Beaver Cleaver, I've had Robin from Batman, I've had Timmy from Lassie, so of course today I have Butch Patrick. Does that name ring a bell? Eddie Munster, he will join me. I don't know if he's got the widow's peak still, but Eddie Munster will join me at 10:40. 10:40, good buddy, breaker, breaker. And hour number three, we'll get into Rick's picks. I'll tell you who's going to win and who's going to lose in the National Football League this weekend. As always, giving a shout-out to our new affiliate in Metro Atlanta, WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key. Once again, great to be in the ATL and the Peach State. Our thanks to Ryan O'Neill, who is the general manager at The Key. Also, a big shout-out to our brave men and women listening both home and abroad on the American Forces Radio Network, 500 outlets, 177 countries, ships at sea. Wherever you are, it's great to have you with us. You're doing a great job. And stay safe, and we hope we see you at home very, very soon. We're also on the TuneIn app, the iHeartRadio app, the, what's it called, Twitch. That's what it's called. I've got the camera in my face right now. Come on in and get in on that. And the Twitter's at Rick Tittle. Come on back. Let's do this.
The double play.
It's baseball season, and you're ready to go all out. So you ordered the essentials to make game day a success, like a jersey, a power recliner, and a bigger screen. And you used your Bank of America customized cash rewards credit card, choosing to earn 3% cash back on online shopping. Rewards that you put toward an essential piece of the celebration, an air horn. Apply for yours at bankofamerica.com/more rewarding. Copyright 2021 Bank of America Corporation.
Angie's List is now Angie, and getting your to-do list done just got easier. Between back to school and with the holidays around the corner, it can feel like there's no time to tackle home projects. Whether you need help with emergency repairs or major upgrades, Angie matches you with top local pros who can get the job done right. Browse reviews, see upfront pricing, and instantly book hundreds of projects. Save time for what matters most. Book your next project at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. If you've had a revision or removal surgery of a hernia mesh implant after 2008, pay close attention to this message. Hernia mesh manufacturers have recalled some of the mesh material that may have been used in your surgery due to high failure rate. The FDA has even blamed the recalled mesh material for some of the worst of the health issues reported by doctors and patients. If you've had two or more hernia surgeries for the same issue and you're having severe complications, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now.
800-817-2968. 800-817-2968. 800-817-2968. That's 800-817-2968. Do you need to sell your home? If you've sold a home before, you remember how stressful and expensive it was. Sold.com is here to help you sell your home for the most money and with the least amount of stress. There are new ways to sell your home that you've never heard of before. Did you know there are companies who will offer you cash for your home? Did you know you could trade in your home for a new one? Did you know there are realtors who will sell your home for a flat fee instead of an expensive commission? It's true. Sold.com services are free. So if you're looking to sell, make this free phone call right now and learn how your next home sale can be faster and easier than you ever thought possible. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 800-449-1759. 800-449-1759. 800-449-1759. Again, that's 800-449-1759.
Titillating Sports with Rick Tittle. Rick Tittle is a genius, the best show ever. He's so wonderful, genius, the best show ever. He's so wonderful. Titillating Sports with Rick Tittle. Rick Tittle is a, he's so handsome, he's a genius.
Wow, how do I live up to that? Hey, thank you for that, and welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you, coast to coast, around the world on AFN. And as I mentioned on Fridays, the first hour, we love catching up with our good buddy, film critic Jan Wall. How are you, Jan?
I'm doing great. Rick, how are you?
I'm doing okay. And over in your neck of the woods, let's visit with our first guest in Sausalito, and that is Cheryl Popp. And Cheryl Popp is with Books by the Bay. Cheryl, what is going on with you guys, especially now that we are in October?
Well, I think it's trick-or-treating and Halloween witching. That's what's coming up next week in any event. We are a community, independent community bookstore right on the waterfront here, Sausalito Books by the Bay. And Jan Wall, the inimitable Jan Wall, Marin's
Entertainment.
Hi, Cheryl. Hi, Jan. Jan and I are neighbors
I gotta tell. I just gotta tell people because I'm always honest. You know, Sausalito Books by the Bay, one of my favorite places on earth. You look out at the water. You've got all these great books of every subject, all kinds of gifts. God, it's fabulous.
Thank you, Jan. Thank you. Thank you. Well, and one of the things we like to offer in addition to books is community events and showcasing our local authors, one of whom is Lisa Miranda, who's going to be in conversation with Jan next Thursday, October 28th at 4 p.m. on site. We've migrated back to live events.
She is the most amazing person. Just to tell people, Lisa Miranda is actually a witch. She's a Wiccan. And she's been that way since she was a little girl. And I know that because I'm related to her. And she is amazing. She reads palms. She talks about the history of witches in ways that will surprise you. She's written a lot of books about it.
Mm-hmm. And this next Thursday, she's going to be signing copies of her first book, which is Witch Cop, and it's the tale of a Santa Rosa detective, Alexandra Channing, who incorporates magic into her daily life, casting spells to help her solve crimes and protect her family. But we're also going to have, you know, food and wine. It's trick-or-treat, trick-or-drink, and they're going to be she's going to be talking about witches in movies, the Wiccan community, and other books that kind of showcase this very magical season.
I actually had Lisa Miranda on my show last Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
Yeah, she,
very, very cool.
Yeah, she's extremely articulate, and she talks a lot about how Hollywood has kind of given witches a bad name, you know, aside from Glinda in The Wizard of Oz. You know, usually witches are, you know, connected with the devil or something, you know, so Lisa gets all incensed and passionate about how witches have been treated by Hollywood.
I think I just heard a good witch right there. Did you hear that? Bling!
Yeah, what was that? What is that? I don't know. Maybe.
There are good witches out there, I think, and we'll be celebrating them next Thursday at 4 p.m.
The one thing that I
don't... And we're encouraging people to come as their favorite witch or Halloween character. You know, what's Halloween without a good costume?
One thing that I didn't realize until a few years ago is that there are, you know, male witches. I thought they were warlocks, like a male nurse, a male witch.
Well, Lisa talks about that. It's part of the Wiccan community, Wicca community, W-I-C-C-A. And they, yes, they are male witches who are very supportive. You know, the witchcraft of Salem Village, if you know your witch history, you know, a bunch of men got killed in that, too. It was anybody considered, you know, to help people with herbs, you know, instead of traditional medicine at the time, to be a free thinker. You know, men, you know, were drowned and hung also. So, yeah, the history of men with witches is pretty intense. It's, I mean, I know more about it than I ever thought because Lisa taught me so much. It's really interesting, but... there is one movie that she loves in terms of how Hollywood has treated witches, and that's called Practical Magic with Sandra Bullock. She says that one got it right.
All right.
Well, we're very, yeah, go on.
No, go ahead.
We're very much having looking forward to hosting both Jan and Lisa next Thursday, and I think I'm going to learn a lot more about witching. We've never hosted anything like this before. We've had little kids coming by and trick-or-treating, but never any sort of adult programming around Halloween, so I think it's going to be great.
So having an independent bookstore in these days is really brave and fabulous, you know, really fabulous. Could you just talk a little about that?
Sure. Call me crazy. I actually opened South of the Books by the Bay 4 months before the global pandemic struck. So we really haven't had one normal year in business. We had to sort of pivot to everything digital. I was delivering books to people's doorsteps. But we've kept our doors open because the community here has been so supportive. And it is a challenge these days. We don't use the A word in my store. I encourage people to support independent bookstores everywhere in the Bay Area and San Francisco. I think they really enhance the community. I feel we almost play a civic or community role. We host special programs. We did something on race matters, reconciliation, and purpose in your community. Everything's tied into books for us, of course. But I've been passionate about them since I was a young child. So, like I said, call me crazy, but I opened an independent bookstore.
Well, a lot of tourists love it, too. People just come into Sausalito, you know, for the views and the food and the art galleries. But it's really great to see a bookstore. People come in and they go, God, I've got a plane ride home. Get me the latest Stephen King or get me the latest this or that. And people are very happy that you're there.
Yeah, I thank you, Jan. I think so. The locals like us, so do the visitors. It's an enchanting little area. We're right on the waterfront, the Sausalito Yacht Harbor Marina. We have a parklet out in front. Look for the red umbrellas and you'll see us. It is a lovely location. It's convenient. We have free parking right in front of the store. And we also will ship books anywhere for free in the United States, which is something that appeals to the tourists who don't want to haul a suitcase of books around. So we try to, you know, we offer a little bit of everything. We have a children's section. We have a, you know, obviously fiction, nonfiction. We have a marine and nautical section, which is kind of
amazing. Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love your marine section, your nautical section, your section on the history of the houseboats. Julie yes. Hayden. I mean, you've got everything.
Well, we've tried to cater to our demographic, and I think I've lived mm-hmm. in Sausalito for 30 years, so I have a pretty good sense of what people read, what they like, and what they want. And, you know, we also have a lot of cards and gifts and sidelines, which has also helped us sustain ourselves in business this last couple of years. So people come for gifts as well as books. So we think it's a good business model.
It's Cheryl Popp at Sausalito's Books by the Bay down there, 100 Bay Street. Do you have a website as well?
We do. It's SausalitoBooksByTheBay.com. And we've got Instagram and Facebook. It's pretty easy to find us online.
Cheryl Popp, everyone, thanks for coming by. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Cheryl.
Thank you,
Rick. Around the hood.
Thank you, Rick.
All right.
Thanks, Dan. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Take care. We'll take a quick break, and we will come on back on Sports Byline.
Okay, we are running a car drive right now to help veterans all across America. So if you have an old car, truck, or van, even a motorcycle or an RV sitting around, you can right now give it away and help the vets. They really need your help. And your car will help support the vets and their families. And guess what? You even get a tax donation. Plus, we'll even come and pick up your car for free. And all you've got to do is pick up your phone right now and make a free call. Now is the perfect time to do something good for the vets. Give back to the vets right now for all they've done for this country. And your old car can really help them. So call the Veterans Car Donation Program right now for free pickup of your vehicle. Help the vets and help your taxes at the same time. Call right now.
800-215-6812. 800-215-6812. 800-215-6812. That's 800-215-6812.
Come on, you watch the news. Be prepared to pay more taxes. Then if you owe back taxes or haven't filed in a few years, get ready. The IRS, the largest collection agency in the world, will be coming after you with the power to collect taxes by any means they want to. Hey, they can freeze your bank account, your passport, even padlock your business. Good times. Look, if the IRS claims you owe them $5,000 or more in back taxes and they're coming after you, don't panic. Call my friends at Get a Tax Lawyer first. Their job is to negotiate with the IRS and save you money. They're experts at it. That's all they do. And you can trust them. In some cases, they have reduced a $50,000 tax bill to less than $1,000. If you owe the IRS $5,000 or more in back taxes, call now for a free consultation.
Call 800-732-9635. 800-732-9635. 800-732-9635. That's 800-732-9635.
I don't even recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him. His addiction. I haven't seen him like this. Ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but I was out of options.
I just want to tell him it's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this. But you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease, and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-338-6906. 800-338-6906. That's 800-338-6906. Paid for by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
I'm not insightful enough to be a movie critic. Maybe I could be a food critic. These muffins taste bad. Or an art critic. That painting is bad.
My day will come.
I'm so disgusted by Rick Tittle that I find him very intoxicating.
All right, whatever works, apparently. Welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you and Jan Wall, coast to coast, around the world on American Forces Radio Network. It's our pleasure to welcome to the show entertainer Ryan Bauer Walsh, and he's here to talk about The Rainbow Lullaby, which will be released by Broadway Records coming up here on the 28th of this month. It is the world's first lullaby album with songs by 19 LGBTQIA plus writers. Ryan, welcome to the show, and please forgive me. Everybody needs to be educated. I know the first five letters represented there. What does IA plus mean, please?
Intersex, or some people say ally or asexual.
That's IA plus?
Yeah, yeah. And plus is an all-encompassing term for those terms we haven't yet created.
All right, got it. Now, how did this whole thing come together, Ryan?
Well, it's been a long year of quarantine with the pandemic, as we've all been through. But I got a phone call from my mom in 2020, June, saying it was time to come home because her cancer had come back. And I spent the next 4 months taking care of her. Until she passed away on October 28th. And then I was left in my childhood home with my father for the next 6 months, and I had no coping mechanisms. It was just the two of us kind of locked up during the pandemic, and I was surrounded by childhood things, and I thought maybe this would be a good way to find some creative coping mechanisms. And I remembered my mother singing me lullabies, and I thought about my own family in the future, and I just started kind of writing in bed every night to try and see if I could make something wonderful out of a tragedy.
And what kind of songs are you putting in this? Is there a storyline? Is it a traditional book and music musical?
So this is a album. So it's 25 songs all together, and it's sort of a thesis statement about the fact that just love makes a family, and that's what's important. And so the first song, which is the title track, The Rainbow Lullaby, says that the only way that we're able to get to this better place tomorrow is if we all go together. And I think that was kind of a nice way to set it up. And then Mark Shaiman, who actually wrote Hairspray and has so many awards, he takes it all together at the very end with a track called Family, about family, called Own Sweet Family. And he really takes it all together by saying that a family is made up of love, and those who love you and those who you love.
Tell us a little bit more about your vast background, Three Men in a Boat and other things, Ryan.
I started as an actor for years and years when I was a kid. I was performing from 13 on, and then, I got older, and I wanted to do a little more of something else, and I started illustrating and writing, and I worked with Christina Capatidis, who's a Golden Globe winner, on a couple of books about shelter animals, Rusty the Rescue, and then Three Men in a Boat is actually a book about losing grandparents, a hard subject, so we wanted to tackle some tricky subjects, and I illustrated those for her. And since then, I've kind of become more of a painter than an actor in the last couple of years, since there's no theater going on. And this album was kind of a nice way for me to come back from Minnesota to New York and reintegrate myself with the entertainment community a little bit as well.
I'm active in the LGBTQ community here. I'm going to have to work on those other initials. And there's such a reflection of sort of celebratory plus pain of that community in show business. It's kind of wonderful. I do a whole speech on that community in movies. And could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, I mean, this album's really important because it creates representation. Growing up, I was born in 84, I didn't have any role models that were gay growing up. And so, my only destiny as far as a young gay person was concerned was that I would probably succumb to the same plague that, affected the LGBT community for, decades and decades, HIV. And because of that, I didn't grow up having any queer traditions or any role models to kind of help guide the way and show me how wonderful my future could be. So this album, The Rainbow Lullaby, does that in a different way. It says that we're more than the stereotypes put upon us, and that we're able to kind of have our own lives and our own queer cultural music traditions, and that it can be beautiful.
And just if you could mention the effect of a lullaby, because a baby will know, even though it's not understanding the words, will know the mother's, the father's voice, the singing voice, and what that does just to, you know, when you talk about love, it's just, you know, you're, when your mom is singing to you.
Yeah, and, you know, lullabies have been around for as long as humans, and so have gay people. But I, unfortunately, there are no gay lullabies. And like you said, it's really important to hear those voices. So this isn't necessarily an equal rights movement in action, but for a child to hear two male voices that represent their family unit singing a simple lullaby is a really easy way to kind of gain some forward momentum in equality.
That is beautiful. I've never heard that. Wow. Yeah. I mean, I've never heard that concept, you know, or two women. I mean, how fabulous.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be, you know, fist-pumping gay rights. It literally is just, like we have Clay and Chris Rice Thompson just singing a song about animals going to sleep together. And it's an adorable song, and they just make lots of animal noises, and it's really sweet, but it's two fathers. And I think that says a lot about the direction we can kind of take these sorts of movements in a really peaceful and creative way.
So the proceeds from the Rainbow Lullaby are going to support the Ali Forney Center. Tell us a little bit more about what that center does.
So my mother's entire life was dedicated to charity, and I really thought the best way to kind of carry that legacy forward was to make sure that every single cent from this album went to help other people. And the Ali Forney Center is a wonderful LGBT queer youth center. And they help homeless people get back on their feet, and they help kind of fit them into careers where they can prosper. And I thought that because they have nationwide outreach, especially in New York City, they have a really wonderful program, that this would help a lot of people. So we're hoping to get a lot of people purchasing the album, and if they want to donate outright to Ali Forney, you can always find them online.
When you were in Billy Elliot, did you have to affect a Northern English accent?
Yeah, I had. I had to put on a Geordie accent for a long time. in fact, I just threw away my miner boots that I had for years. I was in
Montreal
working in a coal mine, and I wore those for 10 years.
Well, you must be a hell of a dancer. What a show that was.
It was a great show, yeah, but that was 10 years ago now. I try to keep my ankles intact these days.
So how has the album, as I said, it's coming out on the 28th, from early you know, screenings or hearings, I should say, how has been the response so far?
It's been incredible. I've sent copies of a couple of the songs to a few of the people who donated to help make this possible, and they have come back with, you know, these emails talking about how if this had existed when they...
Ryan? Did we lose Ryan?
I think we lost him.
All right. Well, we're almost out of time anyway. Everybody make sure, if you want to check it out, Broadway Records being released on the 28th. It's called The Rainbow Lullaby, the first lullaby album featuring LGBTQ. Oh, Ryan, you're back.
Yeah. Did I disappear
Ryan.
For a second?
I think your apartment went through
Ryan,
a tunnel.
Ryan, you know what I was thinking? There are so many gay actors in Hollywood history. It's so sad they didn't come out, because then you would have had some role models. You know?
Exactly.
There are
so
many.
You know. And ironically, I think a lot of them become actors. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I think a lot of gay people become actors because they exist within this need for escapism to kind of play other people to be themselves.
Exactly.
And, you know, I think in 2021, I really hope that if there are people out there who see it as a possibility for careers to come still, you know, have pride in, you know, their career, it would do a lot of good for a lot of people.
That's Ryan Bauer Walsh. Remember, check out the album on BroadwayRecords.com coming out next Thursday. It's called The Rainbow Lullaby. Ryan, congratulations on the project. And
thank you, Ryan.
Thanks so much for having me on. It means a lot to me.
No doubt about it. And, Jan, I mean, that's what you said is so true. I always feel like if people are happy, then the world will be a happier place, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So if you have to suppress how you really are.
Yeah.
And it's just...
Can you imagine?
Yeah, no. I mean, look, I was born straight. I didn't get to pick it. So what if So what if I was born the other way? You don't get to pick these things, which I think a lot of people think. That's why the whole thing it's sexual orientation, not sexual preference. It's like, I think I'll be gay today. I think I'll be straight today. Yeah. That's not the way it works. Yeah.
Right, right. That's so true, Rick. And imagine having to live your life as a lie. I mean, it's very hard, and you have to be so careful and not get caught. And,
right.
Oh,
well,
God,
I just think, what if I was told my whole life, you can't like girls, you have to marry a man? I'd be like, you know, so it's the same thing if you're gay, right?
Right. Yeah. You just have to be able to come out, and we have to support. You know, we just have to support. And my God, I know some wonderful gay mothers and fathers, wonderful family units, wonderful.
Yeah. It's just basically people minding their own business, you know, like whatever your religion is or whatever. It's just if people are obeying the law and. Mm-hmm. You know, not hurting anyone. I don't understand it. Anyway, when we come back, we will have a 2-time Oscar nominee, Liz Garbus, and she has a film called Becoming Cousteau, which just aired at the Mill Valley Film Festival. So we'll bring in Liz on the other side. It's Rick Tittle with Jan Wall. Come on back on Sports Byline.
It's baseball season, and you're ready to go all out. So you ordered the essentials to make game day a success, like a jersey, a power recliner, and a bigger screen. And you used your Bank of America customized cash rewards credit card, choosing to earn 3% cash back on online shopping. Rewards that you put toward an essential piece of the celebration, an air horn. Apply for yours at bankofamerica.com/more rewarding. Copyright 2021, Bank of America Corporation.
Do you have a home that you don't want anymore? We can buy it from you within 24 hours, any home, size, or condition. For over 20 years, we've been buying homes for cash and helping homeowners sell their homes immediately with no listings or strangers walking through your home. Are you moving? Did you lose your job? Going through a divorce? Whatever the reason, if you're in a bind and you know that you need to sell your house fast, call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. We'll make you a serious cash offer to buy your home in 24 hours and let you walk away from it. No listing, no waiting. Sell any home, any size, any condition, now. Call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. Make this free call now.
800-306-1760, 800-306-1760, 800-306-1760, that's 800-306-1760.
Learn how thousands of smart homeowners are investing about a dollar to avoid expensive home repair bills. John, a former non-customer, said, "My air conditioner broke and I had to spend $1,900 to fix it." Jeff, a customer, wrote, "My air conditioner broke and I got a new one at no out-of-pocket cost." Mary, a former non-customer, wrote, "My heating system stopped running. I had to spend $3,000 to get a new one." Lisa, a customer, wrote, "My heater stopped working. I got it fixed at no out-of-pocket cost." For about $1 a day, you can have all the major appliances and systems in your home guaranteed fixed or replaced with HSC's home warranty coverage. Call now, and the first month is free. If the lines are busy, please call back.
800-410-4771. 800-410-4771. 800-410-4771. That's 800-410-4771.
Angie's List is now Angie, and getting your to-do list done just got easier. Between back to school and with the holidays around the corner, it can feel like there's no time to tackle home projects. Whether you need help with emergency repairs or major upgrades, Angie matches you with top local pros who can get the job done right. Browse reviews, see upfront pricing, and instantly book hundreds of projects. Save time for what matters most. Book your next project at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Business heals all wounds. I mean, look at our relationship with Germany or Japan. Who can even remember what all the fuss was about?
Rick Tittle, you done broke my heart, but I still take you back. You hella fine.
Are we back? Okay, we're back. Rick Tittle with you and Jan Wall, coast to coast and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. It's our pleasure to be joined by filmmaker Liz Garbus. She has two enemies. She has. I hope she has no enemies. She has two Emmys, and she
has showbiz, baby.
You never know. Yeah, and a couple of Oscar nominees. Her new film she directed, Becoming Cousteau, from Nat Geo, was a big success at the Mill Valley Film Festival, and it's opening today everywhere else. Liz, thank you so much for coming on. You know, I'm in my 50s. I grew up watching, you know, Jacques Cousteau on the public television and other such things. He was such an iconic guy. Does the new generation know about him? And was that kind of half the battle to let everybody know what a groundbreaking guy this person was?
Yeah, you know, I grew up, first of all, thanks for having me. Mm-hmm. I grew up pulling up my, you know, pulling up to the TV set every Sunday evening to watch ABC's Undersea World with Jacques Cousteau. And it was like a family affair, right? And it felt like the entire world was watching alongside us. And, you know, there were three channels back then. So, you know, a good part of them were watching all together. And yeah, you know, it's interesting because, you know, the idea came to me when I was reading my young son a book about the undersea world and wanted to show him how I was first introduced to it, and start to look around online, and you know, there you couldn't find Cousteau shows, his films, and so that started the inquiry. As you say, his name, you know, had been kind of vanishing a bit into history, and given his contributions to our understanding of our planet, you know, that an entire, you know, third of our, you know, two thirds of our planet was the curtain was pulled back, and we could see undersea for the first time, how huge that was. And also his message about conservation just felt like, you know, this was a story for today.
You're right. It's so relevant. He's so relevant. The way he was trying to expose us to what was happening under the water and how we could prevent some of what we've seen happen now, so unfortunately. How iconic. Was he aware of his own sort of stardom? I mean, did he feel he was very important?
I think as, you know, in his early days, he was, you know, a minor celebrity in France. He was well known in the south of France at first as a spear fisher, and then, of course, as the developer of the aqualung, which gave rise to modern day scuba. Ultimately, you know, he became a filmmaker, and those films caught the attention of some TV executives in America. And ultimately that led to his fame and stardom and being at the helm of the most popular documentary series that had ever been. But I will say, to answer your question, that he did become aware of the power of his celebrity, and he chose to use it to be an advocate for the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was going to ask about. You know, we talk so much about climate change these days, and you know, when I was a kid, they'd say, you know, don't use hairspray, it'll hurt the ozone. And we're like, yeah, okay. But for him, I mean, he saw with his eyes things changing, and he was a little bit ahead of his time talking about climate change, wasn't he?
Yeah, he feels very ahead of his time. I mean, he, in the early 70s, is talking about warming waters in the Antarctic. He's talking about, you know, visiting reefs where he had, you know, been diving 10 years before and noticing parts of them disappearing. So he was a firsthand witness to the changing of our planet and was one of the first people to talk about how connected the ecosystems are, that the undersea world was, you know, required for humanity to survive. And then, you know, leading to him being the only non-head of state invited to the Earth Summit in Rio, the first Earth Summit in 1992, you know, and saying things and imploring us to do things that, you know, people are still asking us to do today.
Oh, I just did a project about Hedy Lamarr, and the problem is she was an inventor, you know, and the problem is she didn't patent her invention. Jacques Cousteau was an amazing inventor of undersea technology. Did he patent it? And secondly, could you talk about it, he and his son, a little bit?
Well, yeah, I believe he did. You know, I'm not an expert, but I believe he did patent the aqualung, but that and of course, this ultimately evolves into scuba. And he did fund his exploration by, you know, the business of the aqualung for some period of time until he had to look for other sources of money, which we could talk about if we want to. But your question was then about his relationship with his son.
Correct.
And he had in his first family, he had two families. In his first family, he, you know, he had an older and a younger son. The younger son, Philippe, was kind of his chosen successor. And together aboard the Calypso, they, you know, Philippe became a major character and a beloved figure. And Cousteau talked about retiring and turning over everything to his younger son. And then, you know, I don't want to have spoilers, but, you know, events occur which prevent that from happening. And that really changed the course of his life and journey. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So how is he regarded in France at this point? I mean, is he still as iconic? Is there a statue to him in the Côte d'Azur? Or what? How is he looked at?
Well, I think one of the issues is just that his films were not available and they were not being seen. And I think the Cousteau Society and his widow, his second wife, were protecting his archive so carefully that the danger was it was becoming forgotten. So part of what I wanted to do was, you know, bring him back into this conversation today, acknowledge his extraordinary life and achievements, and, you know, and having a figure like him, who was beloved, didn't matter what political party, didn't matter what, you know, if you were from a democratic country or an autocracy, he could have breakfast with Castro and lunch with George Bush. He was a great advocate for the oceans and conservation. And, you know, that kind of uniting figure is really absent today. And that's a real loss. Yeah.
I would tell people to see this on the big screen because it is so stunning. I mean, you really want that underwater footage on the big screen. You'll just never forget it.
You know, I am so happy that we're in a moment where many people are returning to the movies because, yeah, he was an extraordinary filmmaker and cinematographer, and seeing those films projected is a treat. You know, if people are comfortable returning to the movies, I hope they will.
I don't know if you know this, and by the way, we're speaking with Liz Garbus about the new movie Becoming Cousteau, which is out today, and I don't know if you know this or not, but I was always fascinated by the fact that he was making, you know, underwater movies during World War II. Was that part of the Vichy government that he was, you know, living in at that time, or was he in exile? How was he doing that?
That's a great question, and, you know, we actually had a part of a film that explored that is on the cutting room floor, but because there were so many great stories. But yes, when after France surrendered, he joined the resistance and actually used his diving activities as a sort of cover, pretended to be an import exporter, and actually, you know, had some interesting crusades as part of his work in the resistance. There's a story about him breaking into a Vichy government, you know, and for those who don't know, the Vichy government was the Nazi installed French government when France surrendered to Hitler, you know, breaking in and stealing, you know, documents and maps showing troop positions, et cetera, et cetera. So he was quite active during the war. On the other hand, his brother was a collaborator and a sort of outspoken anti-Semite. So that was also an interesting chapter in his life. His brother is ultimately imprisoned and sentenced to death, and Cousteau petitions for him to be spared the death penalty.
We know that Cousteau was not a deeply religious man, but when he looked at nature and everything that comes with it, and I know sometimes in the Western world we don't have this, whereas, you know, maybe like Native American cultures have, it's just the relationship between nature, the animals. Did he have a more spiritual look at the world?
I think that evolved over time, and I feel like his writing, which, you know, some of which we include in the film, expresses that, expresses the sensation of being free from gravity and being released from and I think also, you know, developing this during World War II when the world was literally falling apart, you know, France was now under the control of the Nazis. You know, I think that diving did become this mystical escape, and that also inspired him to want to film it and share it, to bring others into this mystical space. So yes, I would say there was a spiritualness to it. Yeah.
Absolutely. It's a great question, Rick, because there's a part in the movie where he's talking to children and he's explaining that mystical feeling. It's just touching. It's wonderful. Oh, yeah. It's such a good film. You know, we mentioned that you were Oscar nominated. Could you just tell us real quick what that was for?
Oh, sure. Yeah. In 2016, for a film I made about the great Nina Simone. It's called What Happened to Simone. And then back in the day, this will date me, but in 1998 for a film that I made called The Farm, Angola, USA, which looked at Louisiana State Penitentiary in Angola, Louisiana.
Yeah, that was fascinating because those were based on the life sentences articles, right? And you made a whole film out of it. That was pretty tremendous.
Oh, you know about Wilbur Rideau. Exactly. Yes, thank you.
Yes. Well, I want to make sure everybody can get their hands on this. This is going to get released. This is through Nat Geo, Becoming Cousteau. We've been speaking with the award-winning director, Liz Garbus. Liz, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Liz.
We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Great work.
All right.
Thank you so much. Okay.
Take care. Rick Tittle and Jan Wall with you, and we will come back with some recommendations, Jan.
You got it. I got some good ones.
Let's do that next on Sports Byline.
Travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
855-325-1780. 855-325-1780. That's 855-325-1780.
My doctor prescribed me Viagra. It wasn't covered by my insurance, so it was costing me like $65 a pill. That's expensive.
Over 20 million guys like us use Viagra. Over a certain age, we just need it. I found a way to pay less than $3 a pill and get virtually the same effect of the $65 pill. I heard an ad just like this on the radio called, and for $99, I got 40 generic versions of the $65 pill. Save yourself money and call right now and get over 40 pills for $99. There's no embarrassment here to use Viagra. If we're over 50, we need it, but not at high prices. Call now with your credit card and get the 40 pill special for just $99.
800-399-3691. 800-399-3691. That's 800-399-3691.
When you want to protect your IRA or 401k, don't trust it to just anyone's hands. It's your money. You earned it, and you deserve the best protection available. That's where Augusta Precious Metals comes in. We've provided gold and silver IRAs to thousands of Americans, including Joe Montana himself, the Hall of Fame quarterback. Augusta is trusted by all these people because we have a simple process requiring little more than a phone call to book an appointment for a one-on-one web conference on the benefits of buying gold inside your IRA. Our objective, to educate you on the economy and on the way Americans are using gold as an important part of their wealth protection plans. So do what Joe Montana did. Protect your IRA with gold and silver. Call Augusta Precious Metals right now.
800-251-0427. 800-251-0427. 800-251-0427. That's 800-251-0427.
Oh,
I would love that. And then maybe afterwards we can go field herping. That's when you go out and you look for reptiles.
Rick Tittle once threw a tennis ball at a donkey.
Welcome back to the show. We have a couple minutes left with Jan Wall. And Jan, before we get to your wreck, we had the tragedy on a movie set in New Mexico.
I heard.
Yeah, Alec Baldwin had a firearm with a blanket discharged. The director of photography, a woman was killed. The director was wounded. And, you know, look, when a blank fires, there is gunpowder in it. When Bruce Lee's son was killed, there was an actual bullet in the gun, but it's just a horrible tragedy, something that you wouldn't think would happen on a movie set with all they have with protections and safety.
Oh, I just feel compassion for Alec Baldwin in this situation. I mean, it's the actor is told this is all taken care of. You know, it's not the actor who puts these blanks in, and, you know, they have someone doing that, and wow, the huge remorse he must feel today. I mean, really, this is just a tragedy.
Just terrible. Okay, now, on a lighter note, what is good? Yeah. What's good, y'all?
Oh, honey, I got to tell you, there is this documentary. You know, we were just talking about the great documentary about Jacques Cousteau that comes out today. Well, there is one on Netflix called Quincy, about Quincy Jones, that is just fabulous. It gets into racism and how he had to fight that. It has some of the best Sinatra footage I've ever seen, and I'm a Sinatra freak, so it's really good. It's really classy and makes you understand that some people are just born with genius, and I think Quincy Jones is one of those. I now understand what he really brought to the world of music, so it's great. It's called Quincy.
Was that the one done by his daughter, Rashida Jones?
Yes, I saw that
a while ago, and the thing it was really great, you know, the Sinatra years and all that, but the thing that I found most fascinating is that he went to France to study with that old lady who was a genius on the musical table and tones, and what she taught him he took for the rest of his life. I mean, the guy was as learned as anyone has ever been in the world of music.
Right. And he had such a sense of humor, like when he was at this one point, he had had a stroke, and his daughter was with him in the hospital room, but he got better. I mean, he got over it, but he's laying in bed, and they're all concerned, and they said, "Who is the president?" And he sits up, and he says, "Sarah Palin." And then he laughs his ass off. I mean, the guy was hysterical. But also just wonderful. And, really good.
The one enemy in his life, vodka.
Right, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
And he pretended he was having it even when he wasn't, because he wasn't allowed it, of course, at the end.
Yeah, and for me, I don't know if you've seen it yet, but I finished Squid Game on Netflix.
Oh, wow. I got to tell people, this is not for children.
No.
You know, there's a real issue here, Rick. There's a real controversy about this, because kids are getting into it, and it is very violent.
Well, yeah, there's about 1 million people shot in the head at point-blank range.
Yeah, that'll do it. Yeah. You think?
All right, Jan. Thanks. Know. Thanks, and we'll catch up with you next week, my friend.
Next week. Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Sounds good. We got some sports talk. Come on back.